Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So this is Starship Sofa recording live for the Hugo nominations, and I just want to introduce the guests who I've got online, which I'm so proud of. We have Amy H. Sturgis. Amy, hello.
Hi, Tony. It's great to be here with you this evening. Thanks for having me.
Oh, Amy, you're a star. Thank you for coming on. And we have Jonathan Strand. Jonathan, very nice to have you on board.
Wonderful to be on, Tony. Good morning from Australia. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens today.
Yes, it's a ridiculously early time for you, and it's getting on now, evening time for me. So, but thank you, honestly, so much for coming and getting on board this time in the morning for you.
My pleasure.
And we also have Mr. Grant Stone, who's been instrumental in helping get the name about Starship Sofa around and about. Grant, hello.
Good morning, Tony.
Oh, thank you again for coming on. Looking forward to having some chats off you on this fine show. And last, but by no means least, we have the amazing
least.
Mr. Larry Santoro. Larry, nice to get you on board, sir.
Thank you, Tony, and happy Easter, happy Passover, happy Eastern Orthodox Christmas, happy everything, Yes. Whatever it is.
Yes. Thank you so much. I wonder, just, you know, with the kind of the Hugo's going live here, I wonder how it... Jonathan, have you been in this kind of predicament before, waiting to see what happens? Do they do them in any particular order, or do they just start coming out in a flurry?
To my knowledge, this is the first time they've ever covered the nominations live. Normally, they just leak out to the world. My own original experience was actually working for Locus. They used to send them to the nominations early to Locus to proofread and check. I don't think they do it anymore. So I'd be sitting there working in California, which I did for a little while, and you get to see them 2 weeks early, but you had to be quiet. But this is new. This is exciting. It turns the whole thing into an event. It's great.
Yes. And it just looks like on this Con Reporter, Kevin Stanley. Now, Kevin's actually partners with Cheryl as well. They're hooking up from, is it Norse Con? And they've got like a big screen going on. You know, they've got a big screen going over there, so they're getting it live as well. So it looks like the whole thing's, you know, everyone's hooking up and getting down with it.
Absolutely, and following it on Twitter and the whole deal.
Right, Cheryl Morgan.
Okay, they're about to start.
Yes.
Ooh. I wonder what end of the ballot they'll start at. You know, what comes first? Is it going to be best novel or best related work or one of the fan categories?
I would have thought it would start down the bottom. Do you know the kind of the fan side?
The John Campbell Award. That's the bottom of the information ballot.
Logical.
Right. Oh, God, I'm so fucking nervous.
Are you nervous, Tony?
And then me? Of course I am. Tony's on edge. You can tell Tony's on edge.
Actually, this bloody beer's going down
too quick. I just have a picture of him with about 8 bottles of beer in front of him, opened all of them.
Shall I tell you what I've got? I've got a Beacon Fire, which is a red chili beer from just a local brewery up here, and I've got an Abbott Ale. So they're me two. So, and they're actually ones that bloody empty already within a couple of minutes. So, is there anybody there? Do you think there's any going to be any surprises with this? You know, like a person we haven't really known about, or anything like that?
There's always a chance for it, isn't there? I mean, particularly in the short fiction categories, they tend to throw up surprises. And then there's lots and lots of people out there who are nominating it. I mean, as Amy rightly says, I think this is the largest number of nominations I've had in years and years and years ever. So who knows? And also, I mean, so as you track down the ballot, and then what makes it really exciting is if you get new people on the ballot, then it completely throws the voting later on, because you can't sit and go, well, obviously so-and-so is going to win. Because we all love to play Handicap the Hugos. well, you do. It's great. But once that's happened, then you've got to sit around and go, okay, well, we didn't expect X to get on there. I mean, so now what happens? So, it's I think it's really exciting. I mean, one of the big things they're pushing here in Australia was a story called X6 by Paul Haynes, which was a lot of talk about Down Under. And given that there was a campaign, I mean, a really positive one to get out and nominate, who knows if that'll make it on. I just want them to get on and do something.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I want to see Paul Haynes on there. That was incredible, that story.
Yeah, it is. Just an excoriating piece of fiction. So, but I just want them to start tweeting. All I'm getting is like nothing yet. Come on, Cheryl. There must be, you know, they're probably standing there rabbiting on about how nice the room is.
Larry's put his name on the on the Con Reporter.
I just said hello to Yuji.
I wonder if there's, Jonathan Grant, do you think there'd be more influence from kind of Australia, because it's coming down your way now, so there's a lot more votes. So we might see some Australian writers who, and I'm not sounding a bit ignorant, but I might not know of, do you know what I mean? Because there's a lot more votes coming from your end of the world.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm sort of new to it. I would have thought there'd be a little bit more from Australia and New Zealand, because so many people are going to Worldcon. But for me, I think my money's on Paul Haynes for being the big Australian entry onto the ballot.
For what, Grant? For best novel, is it, or best short story?
It's a novella.
Right. What's it called? I'll look out for it. Everyone look out for it. What's it called, sir?
It's called Wives, and it was in the X6 anthology.
Yeah, I also think there's a couple of people who've got a chance. I mean, I think there's a critic, Helen Merrick, who's got a chance with a book of hers on feminist SF.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Tan is always a good shot for a best artist nod, I think.
Mm.
Greg Egan had a good novella out this year, and he's always a good thing. And actually, one of the quiet people who I'd love to see get up is Damien Broderick, who's been writing for years and years and years, never gets up, but had a great year this year. So, I mean, he's a possibility. So that would be interesting.
It's funny, I haven't really kind of been looking. You know, I've been so kind of wrapped up in everything else. I've just kind of, you know, with the kind of Starship Sofas, what's going on? Are we getting there?
That's interesting.
Yeah, no, it's, all right. Yeah, isn't it, Amy? Sorry, 864 ballots, all but 33 submitted online.
Wow.
So that is going to skew the ballot. It has to. That's a younger ballot.
Yeah.
I wonder if next year's will be even younger now that we're having this live, coverage, that this is going to bring in a whole new demographic that really wasn't, you know, plugged into the whole Hugo process before. Seeing this reported live and being given this attention, I wonder if next year will be, you know, even more so skewed.
I'm sure it will.
Younger.
I see.
And more electronically savvy.
I see Cory Doctorow's turned up there at the other...
NorthCon?
Yes, the NorthCon. And Amy Thomas.
Thompson.
Yep. That's interesting.
I mean, Amy Thompson, 100%,
yes. Yeah. And I hate to say it because it's one of those things that people always say, but it also means that the people with big online followings will begin to skew the awards. I mean, they would anyway, the Cory Doctorows and the Neil Gaimans and those kind of people. But that means they're going to sort of appear... So it might be interesting to see whether Neil Gaiman's short story from Songs of the Dying Earth, An Invocation of Something of Night or something, makes the final ballot. It may be there.
Do you think Cory Doctorow will be in with me? Can he get in with Makers, can he?
I'd have to look at the year it came out. I think it's Yeah, he is eligible. Yes, Makers would be eligible. And he had a couple of short stories, I think, as well. So he could well be on there, yes. And I mean, getting back to what you said a moment ago, Tony, about whether Australians will show, I know that there was a concerted campaign, but don't forget it's voted on by members of last year's and next year's.
Yes, you know, I was thinking that when I actually said it, and I was thinking, well, oh, yeah, there is still last year's. But that once these nominations are up, that's it. It's all really down to who's going. Am I getting that right? It's all who's down going to the Australian one who can get the actual vote in.
No, all three conventions.
Attending or supporting.
Right. Oh, yeah, God, aye. There's still hope.
This is such a new thing. You've got to get used to like reading the Twitter feed. So, I mean, Cheryl's just said, only 60% of the ballots came from Americans. And that's fascinating.
Right. See, I'm not watching it. I'm watching this Hugo live feed. Is that not the one to watch?
Yes, it is. Hugo's nominations live.
Right.
And down the bottom, she's just said the majority of them came from America, followed by Canada, then Australia.
Oh, yes, right.
Which kind of works out if you think about it, because it means you've got all the Americans who go, then you've got everybody who was a member in of Anticipation last year. So they're eligible. And then, of course, the AussieCon members. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do. I would think there's a chance that some Canadians like Robert Charles Wilson and, again, Cory Doctorow may well feature on the final ballot as a result of that.
Jonathan, did you get a Hugo last year? Did anything? I can't remember.
Bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. You're a fine man. I like you very much. No.
No.
First results in.
There we go.
Right.
We've got an Australian on the ballot.
Who wants
nominees
for
a John W. Campbell Award?
Go on, read it out then, Jonathan.
From Saladin Ahmed, Gail Carriger, Felix Gilman, Sean Ann Maguire, and Leslie Robin are all nominated. Saladin Ahmed's up for the Nebula this year, of course.
Yes, I've heard of him.
Yeah, and Leslie Robin is an Australian who collaborates with Mike Resnick on a lot of fiction. So that's really great. That's really interesting.
Here we go, it's kicked off. I wish I had some bloody money on it. It would make it even more.
They are starting then at the bottom of the ballot and working up.
They are. Just
so
exactly.
Best Can Artist should be next.
Oh, I've got no idea about that one at all.
No.
Interesting. But
it means we're three away from Best Fanzine.
Yeah. Ooh. And that'll be the end of the podcast.
Could it end it there?
Best fan artist.
Brad W. Foster, Dave Howell, Sue Mason, Steve Stiles, and Terrell Wayne. Them names don't mean anything really to me. I'm a bit ignorant on.
I'll be honest and say that I know the names Foster, Wayne, Mason, and Stiles, I think, are fairly regular nominees in the category. Certainly Terrell Wayne's name I've heard often before, so there you go. That's sort of interesting. Good luck them.
Yes, definitely. It's going too fast now.
It'll be over in 5 minutes ago. That was interesting, wasn't it?
We should have Best Fan Writer next.
Oh, that's interesting because Charlie Stross put himself up for Best Fan Writer, didn't he?
Right.
He was turning around saying, and of course, now that they've changed the way we look at this stuff, Charlie Stross, Cory Doctorow, John Scalzi, all these guys, even though I think Scalzi asked not to be considered. But those guys are all eligible for the stuff they do, which changes the whole look of the whole thing. And there we go. Tony?
Best fan writer. We've got Claire, I can't pronounce her name, Braley, Christopher Reality. J. Garcia, James Nickel, Lloyd Penny, and Frederick Paul. Wow.
Yes. That's
right. We'll ask if there were going to be surprises.
Fan writer, Frederick Paul.
For his blog. For his blog.
Yes.
Right. The Way of the Future blogs. But, I mean, I know that Chris Garcia is like a 6 or 7-time Hugo nominee, but I don't think he's ever won. And Fred Paul, that's great to see a 90-year-old author up for blogging.
I phoned him up, you know, about 2 weeks ago to try and get an interview with him, and he was actually out at the time, and it was his daughter that answered the phone.
That's Fred Pohl's first fan nomination, obviously.
Wow.
Well, for those listening, of course, obviously because we're reading the feed, not because we actually know anything.
Yeah. It just keeps going blurred for me when I look at it and see this total bloody excitement.
Isn't your one up next, Tony?
Is it?
It is.
I think so. Oh, yes.
Bloody hell. Someone read it out for us then. Just
good luck, Tony.
Because I'm not going to read it out.
Over to you, Larry. You can read it out.
I don't know how to read.
The beer's going too quick.
I've lost the ability.
You'll actually probably hear. Do you know what I mean?
I'm sure I will. I have to tell you my own experiences. I mean, it's a cliche, but just getting nominated is almost exactly like winning, I reckon. It's awesome.
What's that?
Yes, Toby C. Smith!
Congratulations.
Yeah, buggers.
You've opened the door for everybody, Tony.
There it is.
Well, cheers, everybody.
You're like Eva Parks.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So the nominees for Best Fan Scene, in amongst all the cackling and laughing for Tony, yay, are Argentus, edited by Stephen H. Silver, Banana Wings, edited by Claire Brialy and Mark Plummer. I think they're English. Challenger, edited by Guy H. Lillian III. Drink Tank, edited by Christopher J. Garcia, with guest editor James Bacon. File 770, edited by Mike Glyer, and Starship Sofa, edited by Tony C. Smith.
It's up there in writing. Now
they can't take it back now.
Yes.
Can we all go get drunk now?
Do you know that
it's six nominees? It's funny.
It's actually what you're saying, Jonathan. You know, it's like just getting nominated, but kind of what makes it special? I'm just swearing my head off. What makes it special is like first podcast. Do you know what I mean? And I think I'm the first. I'm not. You know, probably have to wait. Might be another one that gets into the kind of semi-pro scene. But oh wow. Amy, how about that, eh?
That's outstanding. That's history being made. So, of course, we should properly ask you what designer you're wearing now, since you're officially a nominee.
Semi-prosing.
Oh.
Any new? Ansible is in there. Clark's World. Yes, that's good. Interzone, Locus. Now, Weird Tales, and what's that one? Greeno Tromi.
That's just what the editor's for Locus.
No, that's the editor.
It's all corn
blue. I'm really pleased. So, I mean, Ansible's gets up all the time, but Clark's World is great. That's terrific to see. And, of course, this is Charles Brown's last ever Hugo nomination.
Yes.
Because he died. So, yes.
What? You know who's not there? Do you know who's not there?
No.
A podcast.
No, so that does make Starship Sofa the first podcast in the history.
Congratulations. But you ruggedly handsome.
But in the kind of, wasn't it the last time, last year's best fanzine was Electric Velocipede, and didn't he put his name down to go into the semi-pro zone?
You're right.
And he hasn't getting through there.
It's going to be fascinating to see when they release the nominations, actually all the data on it, and see where everything finished below this as well. But that's a good list. Even though, I mean, but Weird Tales, I think, only produced two issues last year. So, I mean, they do really well. Anne's terrific, and so is Stephen. So,
I mean, that's
going to be fascinating.
I'm just going to say that turns out like a great. You know, they were talking about getting that knocked on the head, but
yeah,
you know, that's a good category now because it's a hotbed, isn't it? Really, you know, it's got all the kind of ones we looked towards now. So that's an excellent one now.
Oh, hello there.
Are you all there?
I'm still here. Is everyone still here? I think everyone looks all still here. Best professional artist.
Yeah.
Go on, someone read these names out there because they're beyond me.
Daniel DeSantos.
Okay, best professional artist.
Stephen Martinier, John Picasso, Sean Tan.
From Down and Under.
I probably got two out of the three, four, right?
There's one from Australia, Jonathan.
I think I got them all right. Martinier and Sean Tan. Sean Tan is from Australia, yes. He's a friend of mine, so I'm very happy to see that.
Have you used any artists before, Jonathan?
Let me think. Stefan Martinier has done a couple of covers for books of mine, which I've been very lucky to have. And Sean I've known since he was 19. He used to do art for a fanzine or a semi-pro zine that I did here called Eidolon. So he's an old friend. I was at his wedding. Oh, best editor, Longfellow.
Best editor, right?
My friend Lou Anders. Lou Anders, Ginger Buchanan, Liz Gorensky, Patrick Nielsen Hayden, and Juliet Ullman. That's awesome.
Is that a good little lineup there, is it?
Well, I think it is. I mean, Dave Hartwell, I think, excluded himself from consideration, and he's usually up. But Lou's been doing some awesome work. Ginger is one of the most respected editors in the field. Patrick is as well. I mean, he basically controls a good chunk of what Tor does. So, I mean, that's a very good ballot. And yay for Lou Anders. Yay.
It's all getting there.
Oh, this is me next.
Is it?
Right.
Ah. Yeah, okay.
Fingers crossed.
So this will be best editor short form then, is it?
Yes, yes, yes. This is interesting. I want to see how. I also want to see where Stan Schmidt goes. He's 32 nominations in a row or something, or 33?
Is this the editor from Analog, is it?
Yes, it is. He's been up for 33 years.
And he's never won, though, has he?
And here we go.
Oh, you're in, big guy!
Congratulations, Chuck.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
And Ellen.
Yes. So it's Ellen Datlow.
Can I say...
Go on, then. You read it out.
No, you go, Tony.
Well, I was going to say, for best edit short form, Ellen Datlow, Stanley Schmidt, Jonathan Strahan, Gordon Van Gelder, and Sheila Williams. That's a strong one, mind you, Jonathan, to be in there.
Congratulations.
Well, I thank you very much. I'm very pleased. I mean, I can tell you that's exactly the same ballot as for the last 3 years now. Exactly the same.
And as I quite rightly pointed out, you didn't win it last year.
But not only did I not win it last year, but I came a distant, dismal last. So, you know, if I come up to merely a distant last rather than a dismal last, I'll feel like I've won. But that's great. I'm delighted. I'm just delighted. I guess, Tony, we'll have to be getting out our tuxedos for AussieCon.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't think I'll be going over there. I think Grant's going to look after me.
Magic.
Oh,
magic.
Tony, you've got to go over now.
Oh, man, it bloody cost me a fortune to fly over there.
But then what if you won?
I'm sweating. Honestly, I'm sweating. I mean, see ya. Do you know what I mean? It's Jonathan.
Yeah,
again, you hit the nail. You know, it's just that being on the nomination. You know what I mean? That's. I'm going to actually contact Josh, my web designer. That nomination thing's getting put on the website tomorrow morning.
Well, the first time that I was nominated in Denver, in Colorado, and I flew over pretty much just because I was nominated. Had a great time. Came dismally last and felt like $1 million the whole time. But really did. It was such a great thing. It really is.
This one? Oh, this is
somebody else.
Oh, no. Where's Torchwood?
Go on then, Grant. Oh, I'm happy. Grant, you read
Torchwood
it out.
Torchwood would be for long
form. Oh, no, it's long form, yes. Okay, yep.
Grant,
should I read these?
Yes, maybe? Please. Go on, Grant.
Okay, this is best dramatic presentation short form. We've got Doctor Who, the next Doctor, Doctor Who, Planet of the Dead, Doctor Who, The Waters of Mars, so basically all Doctor Who this year, Dollhouse Epitaph 1, and Flash Forward, No More Good Days.
I think it might be Joss Whedon. What do you think, kids?
Could be.
I think Joss Whedon might have it.
Could be.
Yeah.
With just three in, though, the Doctor Who's, do you know what I mean? They've got a damn good chance there.
It's interesting to see, of those series, Dollhouse has been cancelled and Flash Forward is on the bubble right now looking at cancellation. It's strong, obviously, too.
That speaks well for it.
Yep. But three nominations for Russell T. Davies.
Yes.
Because of course he won't be around.
Wouldn't you feel rotten if you lost?
Actually, he's done an amazing job anyways, do you know what I mean? And he's out of there now, and he's handed over the reins anyway, so...
Yeah. I think he's on previously as well, so I'm sure he will be feeling pretty good. But that's interesting. Very interesting. I just watched the first episode of the new Doctor Who last night.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was fun. Lots of fun.
Yes, and I liked the new Doctor. You know, I thought he was, you know, it just felt so comfortable watching it. You know, he just felt so natural, and he's himself, if you know, for want of a better description, he's quite, I like him.
Amy, where are we on? I'm sorry.
Next we'll have best dramatic long form, hoping
long
to see
form.
Torchwood there, and then we'll be on graphic story and best related work, and then we'll be in best short story, and we'll be going through the fiction then at that point.
Okay,
the top ones.
Jonathan, have you got a chance of anything else coming up or not? Or
no, this was my thing. Was I was eligible for Best Editor Short Form, and nothing else. Whereas, I mean, some awards have Best Anthology, that kind of thing.
Right.
If you guys don't.
Right. That's right.
I got to say, I'm just delighted.
Avatar.
Oh.
Best Dramatic Presentation Long Form. Avatar. District 9. All right. Moon. Yes.
Yes.
Star Trek. And Up.
Yay.
Good list. I'm glad Moon got on there. I'm glad
finally
Moon. Mm-hmm. And District 9, both tremendous films.
They are very. I wonder whether they'll show up at the ceremony, though. Generally, they don't. Generally, they don't. Generally, it's sort of somebody from the local video distribution office or something comes.
Yeah.
But actually, the one year they did send along, the guy who played Sam from Lord of the Rings came one year. To accept the award when they won. Because, of course, these guys won't come unless you tell them they won already. And that's interesting.
Yeah, Sean Astin. Sean Astin was very active
on
behalf of everything having to do with that film. He really put himself out.
Yeah, he did. They were great.
Well, I think I would like Moon to win out of that lot, because I really enjoyed Moon.
Yeah, I'd say.
That was my first and best choice for the nomination.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen Torchwood's, Children of Earth on there, too.
Yeah. I can't believe Torchwood wasn't there.
I'm struggling to see why Up's there. Do you know what I mean? I know Wally was there a couple of years ago, but...
It's fantasy?
I know.
I guess.
Yes, I know, but just...
You didn't like it?
Yes, I liked it, to be quite honest, and... probably more so than Avatar.
My guess is it got nominated because it's the new Pixar movie,
right?
And there's a tendency to vote by rote kind of thing.
That's mandatory. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Can I just say I finally saw Avatar the other week, and the popcorn was great.
I'm sorry that you followed it.
I've got to say, I'm kind of hoping that they'll do a good job with A Princess of Mars, the Edgar Rice Burroughs thing. They've been playing around someone on and off for doing that for 60 years or something. So to actually get around to making it is phenomenal. I mean, Max Fleischer, I think, one time worked on it. So it's going to be something interesting. And it'll be all over the Hugo ballot if it's even remotely bearable, I think. Teenage boys' dreams come true.
Yeah.
I'm just having a look on the actual Twitter feed, and everyone's twittering away like mad here.
Yeah, exactly. I can see the same.
Best graphic story.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm going to let somebody else talk about that, because I've got to be honest, I don't read any of them. So it'll be interesting to see.
There they are.
Nice.
Have a read.
No game in the game.
Oh, excellent. Yes.
Best graphic story, Batman, Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader. This is the Neil Gaiman one.
Yeah.
The winner.
And MI13, Volume 3, Vampire State. Fables, Volume 12, The Dark Ages. Girl Genius, Volume 9, Agatha Herodine and the Heirs of the Storm. And Schlock Mercenary, The Longshoreman of the Apocalypse.
Very happy to see Paul Cornell on there.
Me too. And Bill Willingham. I love Bill Willingham. He's a great guy. Mm-hmm. So I'm delighted at and my wife reads Fables a lot and thinks it's awesome, so I take her word completely. But that's great. I think that's a really good ballot.
It really is.
Do you think Gaiman will win because he's Gaiman?
You never know.
He could be at that stage now where he may not win because he's Gaiman. Mm.
Mm. No, I don't think so. We all love him. We do.
I love him. I like him, but,
It was a great reinfusion of energy for Batman, too. I mean, it was a really important piece there.
And I guess to go against the sort of the idea that he wins just because he's Neil is, let's not forget that he's actually Neil. I mean, he's actually really, really good at what he does. Mm-hmm. And so he deserves to be there and would be a very fitting winning. I know that the Dark Ages installment of Fables is supposed to be really very, very, very good. I'm delighted to see the Cornell there because whilst I don't follow this stuff, I do know that I think Captain Britain ended up getting cancelled. So, you know, and this was his own solo title. So to see that getting recognized is a great thing. And of course, Phil Folio has been around for like 100 million years. He used to do artwork for old Robert Asprin novels. Oh, best related work. Yes! Yeah! Jack Vance, come on down. 93-year-old Jack Vance. This is me, Jack Vance, or more properly, this is I, for his best first novel.
I've just ordered, ordered that as well, so that's coming to my little
Here we go. Okay, best related work, Canary Fever, reviews by John Clute, yes. Hope in the Mist, The Extraordinary Career and Mysterious Life of Hope Merlisse by Michael Swanwick, yes. The Intergalactic Playground, a critical study of children's and teen science fiction by Farah Mendelson, excellent. The Secret Feminist Cabal by Australian Helen Merrick, who called it, yay. And of course, Jack Vance. I hope Jack wins. I do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit biased because I've just did an interview with him and it was like an hour and a half of just pure joy. Do you know what I mean? He was 93 year old and it was just one of the best moments in my life to speak to him. Do you know what I mean? He actually invited us over to stay, to bring me family and come over and stay with them. You know what I mean? Just what a nice man. So I'm just, all my hopes are going for that.
And you should go on, Ben.
I'm sure he'll be going over.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he's 93 and blind.
He's travelled the world, Jonathan. He knows where, you know what I mean? He's never stopped travelling.
It would be great if he did. I went up to his house for coffee one time, and he's a fascinating guy.
So he was that the house that he built as well?
Mm. Oh, and here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes!
What's his best short story?
Excellent.
Ride Sickle.
Yes, go on. Clark's Wheels in there as well with Spa, Kev Johnson. Go on, Amy, I'll let you read these ones. I'm shaking like a fucking
heater. Best short story, The Bride of Frankenstein by Mike Resnick from Asmoss.
I haven't read that one.
Bride Sickle by Will McIntosh.
Someone's read that one, haven't they, Amy?
They certainly have. Go team. The Moment by Lawrence and Schoen from Footprints. Non-Zero Probabilities by N.K. Jemisin from Clark's World. And Spar by Kidge Johnson for Clark's World.
Two in there from Clark's World. They must be jumping. You know, they're getting a great year.
Yes. I'm delighted to see Kidge Johnson up. I remember talking to Sean Wallace before they published it, and he was going, oh, we don't have that content. It's graphic sex and everything. I don't think anyone's going to like it. Gardner Dozois is going to just be horrified when it comes to New Year's Best, and I'm thrilled to see that there. She's just a great writer. And, of course, Nora Jemisin is doing brilliantly with her career up for the Nebula for the same story, so that's a very interesting ballot.
The Moment one by Lawrence M. Schoen, if that's Footprints. I haven't even heard of Footprints, to be quite honest.
No, me either. No.
So that's
Wasn't Footprints a Jay Lake edited anthology? I'm not sure.
I was actually wondering if it wasn't something done out of the UK by, I'm trying to remember the chap's name.
Oh, right.
Which is awful. There was a small press thing.
Oh, Peter right, Watts.
Oh, yes.
Get it.
Oh, yes.
Senator Baker, Fabulous Priest, Red Mask, Black Mask, Gentleman Beast by Eugene Foster. That's the one I did for that other podcast.
Escape Pod.
Yes.
And Charlie Stross is up there too, and Paul Cornell.
This is for Best Novelette.
Yeah.
And if you'll forgive me for ego, two of the stories I edited are on the ballot, which makes me very happy.
Is one the Peter Watts?
Did we read it out? It's Best Novelette, Eros Philia Agape by Rachel Swirsky from Tor.com, published online, The Island by Peter Watts from the New Space Opera 2, It Takes Two by Nicola Griffith from Eclipse 3, One of Our Bastards is Missing by Paul Cornell from the Solaris Book of New SF, Overtime by Charles Stross from Tor.com, Sinner, Baker, Fabulous Priest, Red Mask, Black Mask, Gentleman, Beast, which could have been a shorter title, UG Foster. What a great ballot.
That's it. They're always kind of nice hot ones to kind of keep an eye on, aren't they? You know. Charlie Stross in there again. He's never won a Hugo Award, so I wonder if that's why he was putting himself up for the best fan writer.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I was really, really pulling for The Women of Nell Gwyn's by Cage Baker for Best Novella, and I'm so glad to see it there.
Go on, Amy, read that out. This is for Best Novella.
Best Novella. Act 1 by Nancy Kress from Asimov's. The God Engines by John Scalzi from Subterranean. Palimpsest by Charles Stross for Wireless. Shambling Towards Hiroshima by James Morrow for Tachyon. Vishnu at the Cat Circus by Ian MacDonald for Severe Bad Days. And The Women of Nell Gwyn's by Cage Baker from Subterranean.
Go on, Amy, which one there would you like to see win?
I'd like to see Cage Baker. I wish she was here to know that she was nominated. I've been a great fan of hers for many years, and was, of course, devastated by her recent death. But the Women of Nell Gwyn's is a really exceptional sort of steampunk send up that's got an awful lot of heart. It does an awful lot in for the size of story that it is, and so I'm just really pleased to see that there. It's definitely deserved.
I've got a soft spot, I must admit, for Ian MacDonald's story. I've loved his work for years, so I'd love to see it do well. But so far, a good and interesting short fiction ballot. Very good and interesting.
Mm. Getting back and of course, to the... Sorry, I was going to say, just jumping back to the novelette, I would like to see Peter Watts. Do you know what I mean? He's having a bit of a crappy time at the minute. I would love him to see The Island win.
I owe you that, by the way, Tony.
Yes, you've got that in a rate.
You'll forgive me if I'm rooting for Nicola Griffith because I published it, so I'd actually love to see her win. I mean, she's already got a nebula for a science fiction novel, so... Any which way would be wonderful, but and of course we've just got what George Martin used to call the big one left.
Yes, drum roll.
Come on, who do you think is going to be in? Let's go on, see, quickly see if we can get it. Amy, who do you think is going to be in? At least one do you think is going to be in?
Well, I think a lot of people are talking about the Wind-Up Girl as a possibility. The dark horse I'd like to see is Genesis by Bernard Beckett.
Grant?
Jeff Vandermeer Finch. Is Michael
Jonathan?
I'm going to say, let me think, maybe Stan Robinson's Galileo Dreams.
And Larry, what do you think?
China.
Yes.
Yeah. China. You bet.
I would love to see China, so fingers crossed. Well, this is it, this is the last one then, isn't it?
Yeah, then we can go back to handicapping the ballot.
And Jonathan, I heard on your Twitter that you've read his new one, Kraken.
I have. I love it. It's great.
Is it good, is it?
He's such a good writer. Oh, it's very good. It's kind of like Perdido at Street Station meets Unlondone.
Here we go.
There it is.
Oh, he's in. China Mirville's in. The City in the City, Bunch. Best novel. Bone Shaker, Sherry Priest, The City in the City, Shina Mayville, Julian Comstock, Story of 22nd Century America by Robert Charles Wilson, Palmset by Catherine M. Vanter, Rake, Robert J. Sawyer, I bet he's chuffed a bit, and Wind Up Girl, Paolo Bajagluby, Nightshade. Any surprises in there? I think Wake's a bit of a surprise for me. I didn't expect
that. Yeah, I'd say Wake and Catherine Valenti's novel Palimpsest is a little bit of a surprise. It's a terrific book, but not a book I necessarily would have immediately expected. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. I'm interested to see that Stan Robinson didn't make it.
Or Corey.
Yes, well, Stan's the convention guest of honour, so...
Oh, yes.
I thought he might have got it. But now that I think about it, it's split between... the book was published in the UK in 2009 and in the US in 2010, so maybe that did it. Confused people. That's a great ballot. That is a great ballot.
I don't know which one to pick, because I know that Cherry Priest is getting like a lot of talk with his Bone Shaker, so... I would like to see it. China would get that one, China Mayville. I would like to see him. That'd be my
I'd actually love to. I'd be very happy to see China win, but I'd also love to see Paolo win. I mean, Wilson's already won in the past for best novel. But that's a young ballot. If you actually look at the writers there, there's two fairly well established writers, and the rest are very, very new. So that's really exciting. Very exciting.
Well, that's it, isn't it? And that's the...
I do believe.
Yes.
Congratulations again, Tony.
Yes, and Jonathan.
And Jonathan.
Well done.
Jonathan.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes.
Congratulations to everybody.
This has been excellent, to be quite honest. Like I say, just watching it come out live has been fascinating, So
I'm sorry I missed again. When does the award take place? The actual Hugo Awards.
That's Worldcon.
Where is that going to be?
That will be
Melbourne, Australia.
I'm sorry, where?
Melbourne, Australia. Melbourne, Australia. So on the Sunday, September, the first Sunday of September, it'll be presented.
Ah, my birthday. Excellent. Good, Tony. You going?
No, I'm pushing Grant there. Even if I was there, to be quite honest, I don't know if I could even get up. Shy Benz. Is there any surprises out of these, the whole nominations? Has there been any kind of surprises for anybody? I think the big surprise at the beginning was there's been like a lot of votes and there was only 30, is that right? Only 33 was not online.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So it's a huge online vote. It's probably one of the most non-American votes in years. Only 60% North American voters. People from around the world showing up, I think. I mean, I think the great surprise, the wonderful surprise, is Fred Pohl for Fan Letter.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I think that's magic. I think it's a magic thing. And, of course, some podcast for something or other.
Jack Vance as well. Don't forget Jack Vance.
I know.
That's an amazing feat.
It's an amazing feat for a 93-year-old man who hasn't been nominated for a Hugo since the late 60s to show up for his autobiography. And when you realize how it was written, he's blind, so he's dictated it to somebody and they've written it out and everything else, it's just a great thing. I'm just thrilled with that. That's one of the best things.
I mean, it's really exciting, too, because Fred Pohl was one of the big names when I was a kid, before I started writing, I was barely reading at that point, and there was Fred Pohl's name. And then there he is now, while I'm an old guy, being up for a Hugo Award. It's incredible.
Might bring a whole new generation to discover him for the first time through this as And, yeah, so you've got two 90-plus gentlemen on the ballot.
Yeah.
And yet, otherwise, you have a tremendously young ballot in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And a fairly strong showing from women on the ballot, it looks like, which sometimes doesn't happen. And a strong, unsurprisingly, given all of the online nominations... a few from first time from online places. It's interesting, but not surprising, that Tor.com did as well as it did, when you realize this is only its second year that they're nominating for, so it's still fairly new, and yet it's got two Hugo nominations of Best Novelette. So that's interesting. We've got this magazine, we've got things we've never heard of before. Yeah, it's just an exciting ballot.
So it all kind of kicks off now. Does anyone know when actually the votes have to be in? When's the final day for actually voting for the winners?
Gosh. I don't think I've even announced the first day. I think it's like later today it goes live, and then you've got up until about a week before the convention.
Right.
That sounds like about from last year.
Hmm.
I really like the semi-prosing one, you know, I mean, that's like a, I think now, because like I say, every time, year in, year out, Locus was winning it, but now, you know, the likes of Weird Tales come along and Clark's World, I'm going to put my money on Clark's World. There's me pound coin gone.
Well, you have to forgive me again, but I'll be voting for Locus, given that I work for him.
Yeah.
I think it would be very poor form not to. And also, I mean, it's a really big transition year for them, as you could imagine. So, I mean, to me, Ansible is predictable. It does a great job. But for me, Clark's World or Locus, I'd be very happy to see win. Because you're right, Clark's World had done a great job the last few years. And this year particularly. And to get two stories onto the ballot in the short story category is just a great achievement.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, quite likely the winner, I think. You know, I think a story from Clarksville could well win the Hugo this year. And Charlie Strauss for two pieces of short fiction, which is interesting, particularly since he didn't have a novel out this year, I don't think so. Did he? Yeah, he did, actually. He did have a novel out, so even though he had novels, two short stories out, so that's great.
Do you think he'll stand the chance this year of winning, Charlie Strauss?
You had to ask that, didn't you? Yeah, no, I don't think he will win. Because I'll tell you why. I think in Best Novella, I think John Scalzi is a really likely contender. He's hugely popular, and that story's been available, and I think it's up for the Nebula as well. So I think John might actually be a very good candidate to win Best Novella. And I actually think there's a real feeling behind Peter Watts for The Island.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it could very well take home the gong as well. I mean, I have a long history of being very, very wrong, but those two, I think, could well take their categories, and I think Kids Johnson could pick up a Hugo for best short story. So it'd be very interesting to see how it plays.
You know, you've also got Cinna Baker, fabulous one in the novelette, and that proved a very popular story on Interzone. You know, and Larry narrated it, and it got loads of kind of good feedback going from it as well. But I think for novelette, The Island, Peter Watts. Got to be for me. It's in that little known new space opera. Do you know what I mean? So, but that might hamper it a bit. But you know, fingers crossed. It could be.
Well, I think the other thing that's going to be fascinating is we're about to change demographic, right? Because a young online group have voted or have nominated, but will they be the people who actually vote, or are we going to find out that other people will come along and vote because they're the actual attendees getting print ballots in their mailboxes and all this sort of stuff? So depending how the demographic changes, I mean, I know in previous years, people who've come in top of the nominations have come in last in the votes.
Right.
So that does happen. So
I'm just having a look at the fanzine category again. I've heard of File 770, Drink Tank, I think, yes, not Challenger. I haven't heard of Challenger. I've heard of Banana Wings. I'm sure Banana Wings has been in for a while now.
Yeah.
And the top one, Argentus. I haven't heard of that.
I've heard of that too, yes. It's been nominated before. These are not quite long-time nominees, but they're well-known, most of them. So, but then I think there's actually, I hate to, you know, not to sound like I've got anything involved with it, but there's a bit of a rush behind Starship Sofa. I think it's not impossible. It's not impossible it could get up.
Fingers crossed, and you never know.
Fingers crossed. You never know. And also, I mean, once you're on the ballot, I mean, I can tell you, I mean, the first year I was on the ballot, I thought I had no chance, and I had no chance. And even when they were reading it out, I thought, I've got no chance, and I had no chance. The second time, I sat there going, you never know. It's only five. I mean, come on, it's one in five. Even if it was actually one in a million, it was actually only one in five. What could happen? So you just never know. It's like, it's great. I think it's, but I'm just having a quick look here. Since we're talking about best fanzine.
Six in this category, yeah.
Yeah. Well, as I think they said in the feed, there's a couple of ties. So, for example, there's like six in one of the short fiction categories.
Right.
Six, and there's what, one, two, three, six novellas. Six novels. I mean, Norway's only five, so. So there's been ties in a lot of categories that they've resolved by just letting, you know, more works onto the ballot, which they can do under the rules. So that's interesting that there's as many nominees as there are. But Electric Velocipede won last year, and it's not there, which is interesting.
But I'm sure he pulled himself out of the fanzine and wanted to go for the semi-pro zine.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is that File 770's won before, and so has... Actually, Plotka's not there, and that's won before, but File 770 is the one that's done it before, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. It really will. In fact, last year... Actually, you have taken Electric Velocipede's spot on the ballot because it's exactly the same as last year, plus you, Tony.
Is it?
Because Argentis, Banana Wings, Challenger, Drink Tank, and File 770 were all on the ballot last year. So you're the new blood.
Yes, the one to get picked on.
the young chap around town.
What'll be interesting, though, is... Now, you know, Starship Sofa's on there. I wonder what will happen next year. Do you know what I mean? Will Escape Pod get into, you know, the semi-pros?
That's because just what I was thinking.
Escape Pod's massive. Do you know what I mean? You know,
yes.
Things like that. But
it is.
It doesn't matter because Starship Sofa's the first one, and that's all that matters to me. You know?
Yep. Well, that was like when Locus Online was there was a special website you go, and Locus Online won it. And to be the first is really a huge thing. And I see they've now got the nominees listing online, so they're really on top of what they're doing over on the AussieCon website.
Well, I did a little interview with Cheryl just before we kind of came online there, and she's saying she's been, the first day it was great for the internet and Wi-Fi connection, but now everyone's kind of sucking it all up. She's had a bit of a hell of a time, and she was saying, you know, you never know how these things are going to go, but it's went excellent the way Cheryl's handled this and got it all out. You know, there hasn't been a hiccup.
No, not at all. It's gone very well. I mean, hats off to them. I mean, we're always very quick to criticize when people get the organization of these things wrong. So to get it right is really interesting. How do we go? And I just see as well, they've actually posted information about their ballots. You know, they got, what, the 800-odd ballots with, what, 700 people nominating in the best novel category, which is quite a lot. That's a strong vote. And then close to 400 in each of the short fiction categories, 500 odd in the best movie category.
Also,
they've got a good one.
You can actually go now and have a look at all the kind of votes. Where's this at then, Jonathan?
On the AussieCon site, it's in the convention reporter feed. There's a link.
Right.
They have just the total number of nominations in each category. So there's 356 nominating ballots for the Campbell Award. 199 for fan artist, 298 for fanzine, 319 for fan writer, 377 for semi-prozine, 327 for professional artist, 419 for best editor short form, 289 for best editor long form, 282 for best dramatic presentation short form, 541 for best dramatic presentation long form, 221 nominations for graphic story, 259 for related work, 432 for short story, 402 for novelette, 375 for novella, and 699 for novel.
Wow.
So it's quite a strong ballot. A lot of people casting their vote, expressing their opinion.
Mm. Well, I think it's been a fab old time.
a gay old time in the town tonight. I think sort of... Maybe I'll be having, I don't know what, champagne and orange for breakfast this morning.
Well, it's lovely having you all on. Like I said, to share this kind of moment, it's been, you know what I mean, it's been amazing. Amy, Grant, Jonathan, Larry, you know what I mean? You have made it so special for me. It's been excellent. I've just been a little bit flappy.
As well you should. As well you should.
Well, I'm sure Grant, Amy, and Lawrence or Larry would agree with me that it's well-deserved, Tony. You put a hell of a lot of work into Starship Sofa and shows, so I think you deserve to be on the ballot. I really do. Well done.
Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely.
You're making us a blush now.
Group hug, everyone. Group hug.
Hey, that's it. It's fab, isn't it?
That's what you miss being online. Hugs. Ah, shucks. And beer. Well, beer.
And beer. Beer would be good.
Yes. Well, not now because I've supped mine.
You only had one available, Tony?
I had two. I've done you two. I've had a great time here and, you know, it's been amazing. Thank you so much.
Will our heroes survive this terrible ordeal? Can they win through with their integrity unscathed? Can they escape without completely compromising their honor and artistic judgment? Tune in next week for the next exciting installment of
Starship Sofa. Evacuation procedure initiated. Shuttle set for launch. Airlock will be opened in 3, 2, 1.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.